I want it all for my people. That's why I still talk to my people. Go on this, go hard for my people. I do the research and show the fraud for my people. Raise my kids for my people. And hopefully they will look better for my people. I do the bread for my people. Let's build a foundation that can give to my people. I do it for my people. But it's you put a plan for my people. A brilliant understanding of people. What we need to do to advance the people. Education and finance for my people. Now let me tell you a plan for my people. I want us to live as a people. And can move the new state for kids and other peaceful. Fight, rule, deny it. The sword of strength and define it. Gain it. No for my people, I will stand tall. Death for my people, I will stay. Now for my people, I demand y'all. Be right to your dying day. No for my people, I will stand tall. Death for my people, I will stay. I'm in the lab for my people. Taking a check of facts for my people. The news trying to distract and mislead you. Open that the hood overreact and what we do. I'm trying to live for my people. Be a role model for kids for my people. Don't let them disrespect or mistreat you. I say to my future kings and queens for my people. I'm out of smoke for my people. In the middle of the dark for my people. The pulse inside the heart for my people. Let's get this blood up and set the start for my people. When I say I can confess for my people, go check this on the chest for my people. I'm trying to teach the soul to invest in my people. No, for my people, I will stand tall. Down for my people, I will stay. Now for my people, I demand y'all. Keep fighting till you die in day. No, for my people, I will stand tall. Down for my people, I will stay. Now for my people, I demand y'all. Keep fighting till you die in day. What's up, the lies and defenses of my people? We need to address and agree to break away from systems we assess that are evil. We write the rules and all the law for our people. Control our own souls for no reason. Live within the same communities that they praise you. It's our freedom for our people. That we created for ourselves, for our people. I feel we can stand by and feed you. Not that stars make a bullshit that they feed you. Steps of more deception for my people. No more protected planted weapons for my people. No more progressive can't afford to proceed to compromise the loyalty and creed for my people. No, for my people, I will stand tall. Yeah, that for my people, I will stay. Now for my people, I demand y'all. Yeah, we fighting till you die today. No, for my people, I will stand tall. Yeah, now for my people, I will stay. Now for my people, I demand y'all. Yeah, we fighting till you die today. No, for my people, I will stand tall. Now for my people, I will stay. Now for my people, I demand y'all. Yeah, keep fighting till you die today.
Yo, 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 what's going on, family? Peace and blessings, peace and love to the family out there. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and his trusty co-pilot, partner in crime, Erica Tolbert. Erica, are you there, Erica?
I'm here. Hello, everyone.
Don't let Erica fool y'all, man. She's trying to knock out a bowl of cereal before the show comes on, and she didn't think I was going to tell her.
That's fine. The thing so long as I was able to complete my bowl of cereal.
Did you finish it? Did you finish it?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
So listen, family. One thing y'all do, and I want to shout out everybody in the chat room. I want to shout out Sister Nikki Kershaw, always a supporter of the Independence Day Project. Thank you, Queen. Sister Shannon Elaine, you know, out of Harlem, you know, Harlem Liberation School. Shout out, this piece was good with you, Queen. I see my sister Elizabeth McGraw's on there. She's with a different kind of Democrat party. So we also got Anthony Williams. You said I'm tripping. Hey, yo, bro, I want you to stick with the broadcast on that one. All right, I want you to stick to the broadcast and make sure y'all share this one, all right? I'm going to tell y'all why we're talking about why we should have voted for Hillary Clinton, y'all. I'm going to tell y'all why we should have did that. Not just me and Erica, we're going to share that with y'all. You know what I mean? Peace, brother IJ. The lines are open. The Skype lines are open, family. So, listen, family, we got a big show to go on. But before we get started, I want to acknowledge a few people. First and foremost, I want to go to my people who supported the Independence Day Project from and were able to show us some love. So I want to give a shout out to, you know, our latest sponsor, All Them DVDs, my brother Hanif for All Them DVDs, allthemdvds.com. We can get a lot of historical content, and you can get a lot of different lectures. You get a lot of programs that are beneficial in historical context for the community. You can get them at allthemdvds.com. Make sure you check my brother out. I want to also be able to shout out Queen Tahira, our latest sponsor, Queen Tahira, and Vanessa Sparks. I want to give them a shout out for the Sign of the Times Radio Network. I want to give them a shout out because they're also, you know, sponsoring the Independence Day Project. You know, they put some ads up. So, you know, we gotta show love to the family, you know? We gotta show love to our people. Hold on for a second, family, because I got a few more that I have to highlight. I got a few more people that I have to highlight. And I want to make sure that, you know, the family gets recognized for the work they put in for, you know, just basically you know, supporting us. Shout out to my brother Lionel here in Philly, Lionel Dunbar. You can go check him out at you can check my brother out at 20th and Hunting Park, 20th and Hunting Park, the Lionel's Car Wash. Make sure y'all get down there, especially now the weather's getting a little nice in Philly. We had a balmy day. It was like 45 degrees outside. We were rocking T-shirts, you know what I'm saying, shorts, all types of good stuff. So make sure you check my brother out, brother Lionel, you know, Dunbar. I'll be able to put the information in the bar a little later on. And make sure you share this broadcast, family, tonight. Special shout out to my sister Leslie and her brother and her king, Howard L, for HD Arts. I totally messed that up last week. HD Arts, that was the brother I had the hat on, the king hat, and the African symbol, this, that, and the other. That brother made that hat. And I want to shout out to my sister Leslie with her business, Heaven Sent Clean Services, Heaven Sent Clean Services, where she will come to your house personally and clean it clean. You know what I'm saying? You can lick off, well, I ain't gonna say it. You can eat off the floor, all right? And she also is a jewelry maker, so she's the owner of the Jewelry Drop. So if I missed anybody, make sure y'all hit me up, chime in, let me know. And I want to give a special shout out to Harlem Liberation School and Image Nation for hosting the world premiere of the Independence Day Project. I want to give them a special shout out. We're going to be in Harlem on January 29th, Monday, January 29th. The link is in the description box on both Facebook and YouTube. So what you can do is you can go to YouTube and Facebook and you can check out the link. Buy your tickets now. The tickets are only $10. If you're going to be in New York on the 29th, come through, family. I promise you, you're going to get to meet some of the members of the Independence Day Project crew. You're going to get to see some Black Power vendors. We're going to be able to do that. And we're also going to watch the movie and have a discussion afterwards. So make sure you check us out, family. Once again, I want to thank everybody that was a sponsor to the Independence Day Project and took advantage of that offer that we presented to the community, where we are giving people the attempt to, or we're giving people the room to promote their businesses. You know what I'm saying? So I know we're waiting for Brother Ajay to come up real quick, but while we're waiting for Brother Ajay to call up, Erica, what's going on with you? What's good with you?
Nothing much. Sitting here fighting with my Wi-Fi, trying to get this YouTube connection up so that I could go live in the chat.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
But nothing. Same old. How about you?
Well, you know, this weekend was, you know, we tried to set up shop. We did canvassing out with the Black by Black Black Captain, so we did go out West Philly. You know what I'm saying? And we did canvassing there, Carroll Park. We will be moving into Bluford Elementary School, working with students from Bluford Elementary. As part of our campaign with the Block by Block Black Captains, we're still looking for brothers. So brothers, if you are in the West Philadelphia area, you don't even have to be in the West Philadelphia area. But if you're down and you want to do some work for the community and you want to show, improve, and you want to come through, come hit us up and let us know the Block by Block Black Captains. Just hashtag Block by Block Black Captains. Put that in your search bar. You'll be able to find us, message us, because we need more brothers out there. You know, the brothers that are working on this, Brother Mitchell Chance, or BF Nkrumah, formerly known as Mitchell Chance, you know, Brother Oba Lloyd, you know, we got my brother Russell Jr. up there. You know, we have Brother Atiba. We also have Brother Shamari, you know, as part of our core crew. And, you know, we all got a lot of things going on. You know what I'm saying? Outside of the Black Captains, we need more brothers to help us with this mission on bringing making a Black man prominent in the Black community again. You know what I'm saying? So, I see y'all there, Mitch. So yeah. Hey, Mitch, share this joint, brother. Share this. Make sure you share this joint on your page, bro. It's about to go crazy in here. So, Erica, a lot of people are asking a question about, huh? What's that?
Yes.
That's right. Yes. Make sure y'all share this. So, I'm sharing as we talk. If I can share it and do the show, that sounds like somebody sitting this up on the Skype. Let's see who this is. Ew, peace and love. You are on office hours. Is this my brother Ajay?
Yes, sir.
What's good, brother Ajay? This is my brother Ajay Tiamba, director of Harlem Liberation School. And also, if you want to check out brother Ajay on YouTube, you can find him at Black Liberation University, where a bunch of scholars agreed to go online with Brother Ajay and give good content and information, but it turned out to be a solo act. But Brother Ajay is definitely holding the line. So Brother Ajay, and oh, by the way, Brother Ajay is also featured in the Independence Day Project. So Brother Ajay, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm blessed to be breathing, good brother. I'm blessed to be breathing, trying to do this work, connecting with good people like you. And, you know, we just was very excited to be part of a shutdown event this past Monday. You know, our good sister Erica Garner, unfortunately and prematurely, died at the age of 27 from a massive heart attack, which we believe was caused by the same white supremacist forces that killed her father, Eric Garner. You know, and the stress and the trauma of dealing with the death of her father, as well as all of the other related, you know, stresses that comes from being a Black person in the United States. And so they had a funeral memorial service for her. And afterwards, we joined an organization. Maybe Sister Shannon's on the thread. She can remind me of the name of the organization. But we basically shut down 116th Street in Harlem, walked down the streets, and were chanting and educating the brothers and sisters on the side who were wondering what the hell, you know, what's going on with all the commotion.
Right.
Of course, the cops came out, but, you know, they do this actually every Monday, and that shows actually a lot of a lot of persistence and determination.
Yeah.
So I was happy to be a part of that, you know. And, you know, quiet is kept. There will come a day when Black people want to be doing more than walking down the street chanting.
Yes, sir.
Cops. You know, they better be really happy that that's what we're doing for them. Because they deserve a hell of a lot more than that.
Oh, brother. You ain't never lie. And, you know, it's crazy because we talk about that in the project. You know, we talk about, you know, shout out to my sister, Carol Poole, who put a specific emphasis on that. You know, we've done enough marching, we've done enough protesting, and now it's time for us to take our power. You know, we go hard in the Independence Day Project, y'all. We really don't pull any punches in this joint. This is one of the, you know what I'm saying, one of the joints that you know, this is how we get down. So Brother IJ, what's the news for the day, brother?
Brother, the news for today is that everybody needs to get a plane ticket, train ticket, rent a car, carpool, get to New York City, specifically to Harlem World, come to Harlem Liberation School at the Royal Space Art Gallery on January 29th. Get your ticket to see the world premiere of the highly anticipated new film, my brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones, called The Independence Day Project. That's the news for today. You know, I put up a post today, good brother, and I was talking about everybody's really into the Black Panther movie, right?
Yeah, I know.
And I'm checking that out. I'm peeping it, and I get it. You know, it's the title Black Panther. It's how that you know, those words resonate with our community in terms of, you know, the unit in World War II, the fighters, the tank unit, and of course the Lowndes County Freedom Organization from SNCC, and then of course the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. So it has meaning for us. But I was really interested to see how so many people, Black people, are so like amped up.
Right.
Getting their tickets early. They really amped up for this. And at the end of the day, and I'm not raining on anyone's parade, certainly I'm gonna go see the movie. You know, and I think it's a good thing, but I do think we need to be clear on actual victories from symbolic victories and not get the two confused. Because at the end of the day, a white man created the Black Panther character. He created before the Black Panther Party was formed, so it had nothing to do with that. And Marvel Comics, a white corporation, owns copyright to it. Outside of the, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 Black actors that are getting paid for it, there's no real wealth from this movie that we're going to be generating as coming back to our community. So, yes, our kids get to see Black people in the movies. Yes, we get to hear the term Black Panther. Yes, we get to see all these Black people and a Black superhero. But at the end of the day, I want our people to understand that we got real life Black superheroes. We don't have to escape into fantasy. We have real, we study our history and even look now in the present. We have real live breathing Black people that have created organizations that are supernatural. If you ask me, X-ray vision to see through all the bullshit, you know, analytical minded, the ability to understand white supremacy, decode it and deconstruct it. I mean, those are superpowers, and that's happening in our real lives, things that really affect us. Right. And when I'm thinking about this movie, Brother Carl, I'm like, yo, if y'all gonna put all that money in this movie, that's your choice. But I really hope that people are gonna get even more excited to go see the Independence Day Project. And what I mean by that, Brother Carl, is, you know, some people are not going to make it to Harlem on January 29th. But that's okay. All the people listening to this reside in some city. And all the people listening to this, if they feel you, they rock with you, they rock with your project, they down with you in Philly, or they from different parts of the country, it's not enough to just like, you know, your comments and say, oh, the movie is hot. We need people all over this country to call Brother Carl and arrange to bring him to your city and show that movie, just like we're doing in Harlem. This should be a nationwide phenomenon at minimum, and even global. But that's what I want to see us. I want to see us go from the symbolic to the real, to the tangible. You know, so that's what I would love to see. People all over this country calling my brother and getting the money up to bring you into their city and to screen your movie so it can get in our consciousness the same way that this Black Panther movie is in all of our lips, all of our minds.
You know, and that's interesting because, you know, yeah, I've been watching people, you know, get excited about the Black Panther movie for the longest, and no shade to the Black Panther you know, movie, the franchise, whatever, you know, they got a black director running it. You got a lot of black A-list stars in it. So shout out to them. But, you know, when you think about it's like a lot of people feel as though seeing the movie is more like a civic duty. And I got the same experience several years back when George Lucas came out with Red Tail, you know, talking about the Tuskegee Airmen. And, you know, a lot of brothers and sisters say, well, I'm doing my civic duty to go see the Red Tails movie. And it was like, we don't really conceptualize what symbolic support of black entity or black power is versus virtual support. So symbolic support of these things are taking us to a place where, you know, we're just happy to have our name mentioned or happy to be seen a certain way. Whereas literal virtual report takes us to a place where, you know, we're actually, you know, supporting initiatives that benefit the community. And, you know, not just from a place of morality. Yeah, we need more boosters, but also from a place of, you know, this is tangible. This is tangible support. Not to toot my own horn, there's a lot of people in this project that need the community support, need community's recognition for the work that we've been putting in. And so when you look at the, and listen, I can just go off, let me just go off real quick on, let me just go to one of the joints there where we're in the project. Let me just go to what a sister from the UK said. This is my sister, Khadijah Ward. And we're gonna be talking about Khadijah Ward the next couple of weeks because I'm gonna be doing a book review for our sister. Our sister came up, our sister wrote a brilliant book. I got to finger through it a little bit today. You know, Khadijah Ward, y'all make sure y'all check this book out, Black Sterling by our sister, where she actually has an itemized plan for international, you know, grabbing a black power. And so we need to talk about it. This is what she said about the Independence Day Project. The Independence Day Project is my book, Black Sterling in Practice. It's fantastic. Exactly what I've been trying to achieve here in the UK. The Independence Day Project not only groups intelligent, awoke adults, it also includes and engages children, which is fundamental to the success and sustainability of Black independence long-term. The Independence Day Project relays strong, positive messages to the natural greatness of Black people, and it eloquently addresses all aspects of the current mindset of the Black population under the white supremacist oppressive systems, which hinders progression, and collaborative working. It also reinforces, therefore, the reasons that independence is the only solution for survival and prosperity of the Black nation, being aggregated resources, collective power, Black-owned and controlled throughout every facet of life as an overarching goal of the project. The Independence Day Project, and I have to scroll down because the sister wrote a long review. The Independence Day Project is gathering steady and collective momentum and certainly on the right track to success. The U.S. government's current black extremist policy is testament to that. All right? I'm going to just go in, family. We do talk about the black identity extremist in this particular project. It's the only project that's dealing with that right now. Not to say we're the only people talking about it, but it's the only film that's actually aggressively talking about the black identity extremist designation by the FBI. Just want to make that clear. All right? Let me get back to it. Okay. All right. I would say the only thing that it requires now is collective financial sponsorship from the community. Black people should own it, sponsor it, in financial and practical terms to enable its growth, recognize it as theirs, and it's in the best interest of them as a community to enable independence from the ills of the current system. Carlton Jones, that's myself, and colleagues, I salute you for your awesome work, for the awesome work you're doing. Keep on doing what you're doing. You're on track. Our sister, Khadijah Ward, author of Black Sterling. So y'all make sure y'all give my sister some love. And this is my sister from the UK. We had an opportunity to preview, and we have several reviews. We have several reviews for the Independence Day Project. So thank you, Brother RJ, for bringing that to light. And we're definitely appreciative of the message. And yes, family, specifically if you're in the movie, you should definitely be more apt to sharing the project and figuring out how we could bring the project to your city, being involved in making sure that the community at large is getting a whiff of the Independence Day project. So I want to thank
Brother Carl, can I say one last thing?
Yes, sir.
To your audience, I want to reiterate this, family, because, you know, we're living in some times you're going to see a lot of activism, protests, and demonstrations, blog articles, people speaking truth to power. And I want to remind people that every creative product we make in a certain era builds on the era before that. So we had a lot of documentaries that are brilliant, particularly the Hidden Colors series. And they gave us really good history, historical reference. It helped people develop historical consciousness. Now, family, we're moving into an era where the enemy has concentrated their forces politically, economically, legislatively. They are moving, whether you're talking about the FBI, Black Identity Extremist designation, whatever, the DACA, the attack on DACA, all these things represent a concentrated attack against African people and members of the diaspora. And so now we must move to the level of action plan, organizing to take power to protect our families, to make sure we can feed and sustain ourselves, to make sure that our children are learning with an edifying education. And the thing about this project, in my opinion, that separates it from everything I've seen, it's the only documentary that imagines a world without white supremacy in it, finally. And then it has activists, and these ain't the Negro integrationist assimilationist activists. These are the Black power, Black nationalist, Pan-Africanist activists around the country telling us what they are actually doing on the ground in real time and giving us suggestions for what we can do, providing templates for action for people all over the country. So I really hope people really put 100% support into this particular project, man. That's all I wanted to say. Appreciate Peace and Black Power, family.
Peace and Black Power, brother. And that was our brother, IJ Tayemba, calling all the way from Harlem, Harlem World, and joining us the discussion. Erica, real quick, what do you think the importance is in terms of the community and actually seeing this project before we really get into, you know, a couple of topics in the show? And I realize we're running a little bit behind, y'all, but we're going to get into, we're definitely going to get to that one y'all want to talk about. All right. So go ahead, Erica, real quick. What do you think this project is a necessity for the community?
Of course it is, because it's a question that has never really been proposed to the community before. So since it has never been proposed to the community, this documentary proposed the question, being if you can't visualize what it should look like, it gives you a visual. It gives you something to think about. It gives you the opportunity to understand and get why there's a need for the independence of the Black community.
So, and family, so make sure if you get a chance, go to the link, check it out. We're also going to have a screening here in Philadelphia in February. We'll be talking about that in future date and future shows. But right now, y'all, it's a few things that's been going on. The world is going crazy. Crazier than normal. I mean, this past week, what did we have? We had people going boo-foo for bofo for Oprah Winfrey, right? Oprah Winfrey went out there. She said she did a Me Too speech. And we sort of addressed that on a live that it did earlier this week. So we're not going to get into the Oprah thing. All right? She's not running for president. That's all you need to know. Then we had the whole situation with Ginuwine and the transgender situation. Erica, did you ever get a chance to see the video?
I didn't see the video. My Wi-Fi when pulled the video up. I read a lot of transcripts and saw a little comments, but I never got a chance to watch the complete video.
Okay, so let me just tell you.
I saw some of it.
So let me tell you what you didn't see, all right? Let me tell you what you didn't get a chance to see. So Ginuwine was at a show. I believe it was in England. It might have been in England or one of those European countries.
Big Brother UK.
Okay, Big Brother UK. And he's sitting on the couch next to somebody who identifies themselves as a trans woman. So this, you know, trans is basically, I am what I feel like. So you can say, I'm a trans giraffe, and nobody can really question you because, you know, that's how you feel. So they asked Ginuwine the question. Ginuwine, you know, she asked Ginuwine, was she the trans person? I don't want to get into the whole, that's confusing enough to me. But the trans person asked Ginuwine, did he, if he wanted to date, if he would kiss this, that, and the other. He was like, nah, not if you're trans. If you're a woman, yeah, but not if you're trans. And basically what happened was the transgender person then started sexually assaulting Ginuwine on the couch. You know what I'm saying? Like, I give Ginuwine credit because he did some shit I would never do. He, you know, the transgender hugged him, you know, so like an embrace. And then, you know, he went along with the hug, but then when he felt like it was trying to, like, when she was trying to kiss him, or it was trying to kiss him, and I'm saying it, I don't know who got offended. And when it was trying to kiss him, basically said, you know, he ganked away from him. Was like, yo, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? Now, the transgender population, the LGBTQ, has been going out of their way to call him transphobic for not allowing the transgender person to kiss him. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, what, you know what I'm saying? What? I mean, Eric, you can chime in anytime you feel like cutting me off. What the hell is Ginuwine supposed to do? I mean, when he's sitting in a situation where he don't want to fucking kiss this person, don't want to hug him, and then they're aggressively trying to kiss and hug him.
What he should have done is, when his publicist sent him, or whomever agent sent him, you know, the information to go to UK to be on a Big Brother, and he looked at the list of people on the cast, and once he realized he was the only American, and the only Black person, the only Black guy, he should have said, no, I respectfully decline. Mm-hmm. That's what it should have been. Mm-hmm. Initially, on top, he should have gone to this on the show. Now, I understand he had to make his money, and I get how Black people, you know, we only support what's trending, because we're a bunch of trending people. As a community, we only notice what's trending and what we're told to notice.
Reactionary.
Yes. So, with that being said, I understand Ginuwine cash flow ain't what it used to be. You know, he's single now because his ex-wife is now married to Professor Griff. So he got time to travel and do whatever, I guess. But that's what he initially went wrong. He initially went wrong by going to UK and they're the only Black person and a man on this show. You have to be surrounded by your people at all times, because I don't think a Black transgender male, female, I don't even know how to reverse thing is. I don't think they would have put Ginuwine in a situation like that to be uncomfortable. I think, you know, because we don't have that privilege, mm-hmm, to force that upon one another. We know we don't do that. That's a code that we have amongst one another, is that we don't force certain lifestyles. Now, in my opinion, I don't have anything against gay men or gay women, any of that, but when I was reading some of the people comment at the fact that Ginuwine would not kiss this transgender, and when, oh, he's saying he'll sleep with a woman, and he won't sleep with a transgender woman, that within itself is transphobia. No, it's not. And I can't vouch for what it's like to have sex with a woman from a man perspective. But in my mind, I would like to think that no doctor could recreate what's in between my legs. Like, I find it highly offensive. Because I tell people, I breathe life from in between my legs. Life comes from me. So I find it highly offensive when you think because a doctor gave you a vagina that you're equivalent to me. You're not. You never will be. But again, that's what's wrong with us, because we're not taught to accept our differences. Everybody is uniquely different. If you want to be gay, that's fine. But how dare you get mad at me because I won't acknowledge that you decided to be a woman. You can't decide to just be a woman, because women create life. All women are capable of creating life. You know, some people have issues with that, but in the end, you're not a woman. So how dare you make this man feel less than a man because he said, no, I don't have anything against trans. I just don't want to sleep with one.
Hey, listen, I'm going to say it like this. I'm not getting bullied into sleeping with nobody. And I think it's time to call out the bully agenda of the LGBTQ. I think it's time to finally stand tall as Black people and say, we don't give a fuck how you feel about the way we feel about your aggression towards us. Because they only try this bully shit against Black people. I don't cheat on trying this bully shit against them. And this goes for Black, queer, gay, LGBTQ, white, queer, LGBTQ, and all the ones that fall in between. They all fall in line with the same. It's just like the thing with the police. It doesn't matter if you're Black or white. You still practice that blue, you know, shield, that blue, you know, the color blue, that code of blue. And just like with the LGBTQ, it don't really matter in terms of the treatment of Black people unless you're within the LGBTQ, and then Black people are getting discriminated like crazy in that particular section. Don't believe me? Go scroll and do some research in terms of how many lawsuits are going on in Philadelphia right now for all the Black LGBTQ that are not allowed in social settings where the white LGBTQ own and operate. So the whole process, the whole conversation in regards to that, first of all, was sexual harassment. And I'm, you know, we as Black people, we gotta stop being chumps. That's the bottom line. We gotta stop being chumps. And like you said, Erica, perfectly. He should have had his publicist, agent, whoever, check that out and say, listen, I don't give a damn about the money. Some things come with integrity based in lady. And that was the situation where he sold out his integrity, his own integrity, to be in that situation. And, you know, sometimes you got to take that one on the chin. And so sitting out, first of all, I wouldn't have been all snuzzled up in no goddamn snuggie on the couch next to nobody, no transgender. I don't give a fuck. And how you feel about it. That's not my twist. That's not how I get down. And you're allowed to be around who you feel like being around socially. And I don't, you know, so I wouldn't have even been in that situation. And I tell y'all this now, for any of you transgenders that's out here watching this, understand, I am hetero-specific. I love Black women. That's it. That's all you need to know. Don't ask me if I would date somebody that's trans this. Don't ask me if I would date anybody that's queer that. No, I love Black women. And so, therefore, we need to start standing tall on the things we have in terms of our integrity, in terms of, you know, racially just being on code. And I'm not even willing to have a conversation because they're disingenuous. They're a bunch of fucking bullies. And the LGBTQ needs to be called out for this. They need to be called out for the fact that, you know, what happens amongst them, you can't scream for liberties. You can't scream for civil rights to violate other people's civil rights and liberties. You can't do those things. And so, in my opinion, that's where we draw the line in terms of the people. And we got to stand tall. And I salute all the brothers and sisters that are out there, you know, speaking out for, you know, genuine in this particular case. Not, you know, we don't have to be a fan of the person. And I'm not going to make no qualifying statements about, you know, whether or not, you know, how I feel about LGBTQ or not. That's regardless. This particular situation, they were dead wrong. This transgender was dead wrong. The people on that panel, on that show who tried to pressure him into some gay shit was dead wrong. So, you know, it is what it is. Family, we got to stand tall, you know what I'm saying, and be able to stroll for our own shit. I wish I had a better way to say it, but it just sounds so much better when I say it like that, I feel. So, any last remarks on that, Erica, before we move on to the next topic?
Just not really, other than the fact that not to be there was one, so I definitely think this is when the Black community, gay or straight, is supposed to back one another and say, hey, again, we like to reunite under every cause but our own cause. Like you said, it was borderline sexual harassment. Again, my preference is Black men. I don't date outside of my race. Nothing wrong with it. I just don't find them attractive. I honestly don't. So am I, is something wrong with me? Am I going to get beat up because I decide to say, hey, I don't want to date a white man, or I don't want to date a Hispanic man? And in the end, people have their preferences, and it's okay. And if Genuine would have said, yes, I would date a transgender, I would have felt no type of way towards him. But don't make that man feel less than and bash him because he decided to say, no, that's not my type. That's not what I'm into. Exactly. And don't try to force it upon him. And that's the part that bothered me the most, is that people bash him just like he has a preference to like it. If he did, he also has that preference to say, hey, no, that ain't my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, I am straight black pride when it comes to heterosexuality, when it comes to us being able to just be free to deal with who we want to, how we want to deal with. And, you know, I'm not going to pressure nobody into anything. You make your choice, but I'm not going to put up with this goddamn agenda. And this agenda is real because for some strange reason, the same rules don't apply when it's a black person, a black child can fill a girl's ass and go to jail, you know, but this, you know, white, whatever, you know, can try to hug and kiss on the man. And then he is the one that's put under the guillotine or put to the guillotine. It's his neck on the line. Man, fuck that. I'm sorry. But okay, so.
But you know what? You said one thing that I definitely agree with, and this goes back to when I used to tell people, I could tolerate a gay Ellen DeGeneres, but I can't tolerate a gay Rosie O'Donnell. And I used to tell people, Rosie O'Donnell was a bully. She was a gay bully, and she bullied anyone that didn't support her agenda. And this was one of those. Ellen didn't have to bully anyone. She was so comfortable with who she was as a woman that she didn't have the need to make you feel like you needed to accept her. It all depends on your comfort level within yourself. So with that being said, whenever I see homosexuals bullying people, especially with this trans movement, I'm going to let them know, you're being a bully right now. Mm-hmm. I don't have to. I don't have to decide or call you a woman, because to me, again, I don't care how many vaginas you give yourself, and I don't care how many breasts you put on the top of your body. If you don't have ovaries, and your ovaries don't release eggs, and those eggs can't be used and paired with a sperm to reproduce, you are not a woman, period.
Well, listen, if you weren't born with that, that's how I feel. I don't give, because science is amazing. They might come up with some shit that answers all those things you just said. But if you weren't born like that, I can't bang with you. Period. And that's it. Feel how you want to feel. I truly don't give a fuck. All right. Next, something I truly do care about. All right. This whole topic about that we're talking, I think that we were able to drew the crowd out tonight. With this whole thing where, you know, we said how black America should have voted for Hillary during the election. Now, it makes, you know, small, you know, long story short, Hillary Clinton did receive the majority of the black vote. She received about 90% of the black vote during the election. However, this is a hypothetical to that. This is not about the actual vote count. This is not necessarily about the election. This is just talking about who would have been the better president for black America right now. And I was under the influence and under the belief that black people needed a fire lit under them, that the black community, all we needed was for somebody to show black people who their common enemy was. And black people would start coming together, putting aside petty differences and things of that nature, and start working and building together. Well, 2 years into the Donald Trump presidency, goddamn, I was wrong. Black people have not seized the opportunity to identify who their our common enemies are. In fact, we've gone out of our way to create pockets of resistance within inside of the Black community. The Black community is more confused today than at any given time. So, Erica, I ask you, with the Black community today, considering how we have mishandled the current presidency of one Donald A. Trump, Orange Man 45, what do you think, who would have been the best president for Black America this time?
Truthfully, of course, it was one of those, you know, we talked about it. I think Patrick on Carl's was the only one that was a little bit cynical, if that's the right term to use, about whether Black people were really going to take advantage of this threat. We both agreed initially, and we said it on the show, hey, we're happy Donald got, because Black people would have been too comfortable under Hillary. We would have been so comfortable that we wanted to do anything a bassinet. But you know what? For the most part, we're not capitalizing on all of these laws and all of these things that he's doing. We're not capitalizing on the fact that the middle class Black community is about to be hurting because of this tax law that he just passed. We're not capitalizing on any of these things that he's done in the past year. It's making us want to come together and create our own and build. I haven't seen too many Black people doing more than what they did before.
And actually, I mean, I'm seeing more splintering, more division, more hostility. I'm seeing more petty shit. I'm seeing us more fractured. I'm seeing us become more aligned with subsets. In other words, things that are not Black. Like people are saying, well, I'm part of this. I just mentioned the LGBTQ. So they say I'm part of that. People are saying I'm a millennial. I'm part of this. People are saying I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm this, that, and the other. But way before they say they're Black, align themselves with being Black. We'll identify ourselves. I've seen it I live in Philly. I've seen it where people will identify themselves with the Philadelphia Eagles more so than they will identify with being Black. When we start talking about the whole idea of bringing Black people together, you know, you would have thought that with the president, like Donald Trump, that was holding practical Klan-based rallies, like Klan rallies during his presidential, run, that was, beating Black people down. He was encouraging lynching Black people and during his, his candidacy and during his rallies. You would have thought that, electing this man, the day he got elected, how afraid that Black people were. I can't tell you how before he got elected, nobody said, people thought he wasn't going to get elected. After he got elected, my phone was ringing off the hook with Black people talking about they were leaving the country. All right? You would have thought that, with all that going on, the moves, the executive orders that he's put in place, the policies that he's put in place, the fact that you've had judgments all across the country where white supremacists taking shots at federal agents, FBI agents putting guns, the whole Clive and Bundy clan got off. Nobody went to jail for the Clive and Bundy clan. The shit when they had a standoff with the FBI out in Nevada, where two of the members from his clan went and shot local Las Vegas police officers in the Las Vegas Mall. And then later on, they went out to Oregon in the wildlife refuge, and they took over that wildlife refuge, destroyed the cameras and all sorts of federal property, and nobody fucking went to jail. Nobody. They literally just had a mistrial and they decided not to press any charges against the Clive and Bundy branch. Literally, like last week. And it was quietly. Nobody talked about it. Quietly. Right? When you got Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions is repealing and removing all the protections that Black people thought that they had. It really wasn't for Black people, but we benefited from it a little bit. That they thought they had when it came to, being able to mandatory amounts in terms of your bail hearing, so to make sure that you can actually afford bail for nonviolent drug crimes and things of that nature. Pushing in prosecution to make sure that they push for the maximum sentences for Black people, for as you said, for poor people. We know who he meant this shit for. All right? For pushing for those things. We you would think that this whole concept of the white supremacists coming out, they're just shooting up fucking concerts, they're out there shooting at politicians, they're out there going to malls, they're still going into schools, and the fact that the crime on black people, the police brutality and police crime on black people, the numbers are slightly going up, rising since Obama was in office. All right, you would think that would be enough for black people to say, forget all this petty shit we got. We have a bigger enemy. We got Bigfoot on the door. Well, we can fight amongst ourselves later, but right now I smell kerosene. They're trying to ignite and burn the house that we're living in. Can we get past the bullshit? You know what I'm saying? But no. Hillary probably would have been better. And the reason why I say Hillary probably would have been better is because most black people just wanted to hit the snooze button on the black push for liberation, the black push for better treatment, the black push for reformation, and all that other shit. They wanted to really hit the snooze button. And it showed right now, because even as we speak, with policies being put in place that's going to be harmful, you heard Erica just say that tax bill that they put in place. Brother Ajay has been talking about that on Black Liberation University for the last 3 weeks. Other people, Sister Zakiya Jabbar, has been talking about this on Facebook and all these other things, these policies put in place within 10 years. The middle class is going to absorb the majority of the taxes in this country. And you all know that typically falls into the black, because they're going to try to build the white middle class up again to the point where they pass that tax threshold to where they will no longer have to pay any taxes after 2027. But we are not paying attention to this shit. We're partying, bullshitting, people getting ready for Super Bowl parties and shit. People are getting ready for All-Star Weekend, and we have got to get on coke. People are out there partying because the Black Panther movie's coming out, but we're not paying attention to the shit that's happening right now. The war on the Black Panther movie is basically the war for Wakanda, or Wakanda, whatever the goddamn country is, the artificial country that they created. Well, guess what? The real Black nation, the one that's supposed to be sitting there, you are already under siege. Listening, we know that Hillary would not have been good for the black community. But we're talking about in terms of the black community, you wouldn't be dealing with Jeff Sessions right now. She would have been See, the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, they both treat black people the same. The Democrats, that mean the Republicans, kill black people with one swift blow. The Democrats, they kill black people with death of 1,000 cuts. So you don't feel them all at once, but eventually you just bleed the fuck out. That's what the Democrats do to you. But maybe we needed that in order to still have time. So because the timetable has moved up, if you're not paying attention, Erica, I don't know.
It's so true.
Yeah. So
you know what? When I came to work, you know, I get my days mixed up. Yesterday? Could have been. I don't know. One of these days, I came to work. What's today? Wednesday. But anyway, one of these days, I came in to work, and a short white guy talking to him. It's a older or middle-aged black woman. So we were saying something, and the white guy was, you know, complaining about our pay and the taxes and the raise he just got. He was like, something about the idiot and the tax bill. So the black woman said something about Hillary. And I said, well, yeah, truthfully, for me, it didn't matter. I said, they're both racist. Oh, no, it was me, and it was a black guy there, too. He was like, we always talk about pro-black things, being a black guy. He was talking about how we don't want me and him, we don't want Hillary or Donald Trump. And the black woman kept trying to convince us as to why Hillary would have been better. And I told her I can't get past her calling young black men super predators to see anything good that she would have done to help the black community. And in the end, her final comment was, she still would have been better than him. In the end, your theory, of course, because I feel the same way, it would have bought us some time, but that wasn't her thing. Mm-hmm. In the end, we have to realize we have no friends in this game. But I think we don't take advantage of time. Black people have the worst sense of time on every level possible. It's amazing how we jokingly talk about CP time, color people time. Mm-hmm. But look how deep that is, that we don't have a sense of time. We're late for everything. We're the last to show up for everything. I can guarantee you, all the white people at my job gonna show up to work early, right? Mm-hmm. Now the black people, just about the bulk of the black people, they're always in their last minute. They don't have time to sit down, prep, plan for the day. They just come in and instantly have to start working. And I have to tell some of them, come in a little early so you can mentally prepare for the day instead of hopping right in to work. Mm-hmm. To begin on a larger scale, grand scheme of things, that's us. We're so last minute and so late until we don't have time to plan, we instantly have to work. And when you don't plan out your day, when you don't make plans, that's how things get screwed up. But that's us. We're late for everything until we have to beg our enemy to buy us time to get it together.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, that what you're speaking to is the fact that we don't seem to have a sense of urgency. And what you're speaking to is also that we don't seem to have a true understanding of our predicament. And a lot of us don't. You say black people, you know, where, you know, who has been declared on our community? A lot of them think of it as you saying it figuratively. Or, you know, you're not necessarily, you know, we're talking about it, but, you know, we're not really talking about what we're dealing with in the day to day. And brothers and sisters, I got to keep explaining to you. The war zone, you know, most people, you talk to people who have been in the military. They will tell you. The war zone is peaceful most of the time. Only time, see, we seem to think of a firefight as the war zone. No, the war zone, you have people walking up and down the street. You have people with outdoor groceries and shit, you know, selling produce and fruit and vegetables. You have markets. You have people buying clothes. You have people walking down the street. You have people having parties. You have bars open, things of that nature. In fact, in Vietnam, most of the black people got strung out on goddamn heroin because they were in these goddamn bars where they were having these, and anyway, in these damn huts, these opium huts. So, you know, this, you know, we have to understand that warfare is a state. First of all, warfare is not just active combat firefights, this, that, and the other. There's chemical warfare, biological warfare, environmental warfare, educational warfare, psychological warfare, propaganda warfare, you know, you know, warfare on every level. And we're being hit with, we don't recognize that we have been hit with, you know, what's called full spectrum dominance, where they attack you from all different angles. You can't drink water without being poisoned. Do you know that the fluoride in your water, that if you were actually to just ingest the fluoride itself, you'd have to go to the hospital? You know what I'm saying? Because it's illegal for you to digest fluoride. Fluoride, in fact, it's in medication. You need to be prescribed fluoride, and it's in most psychotropic medications. But you don't realize this shit. And you know, the air. I think we gonna go on back. The air. You don't see them crisscrossing your skies every day, crop dusting. What the fuck do you think they're dropping on you? And it's like we have to consistently drive this point home, and it's frustrating because it's like we're children at heart, we're children in mind, we're children at play. I saw my brother IJ put up a post earlier today questioning the logic behind black people getting behind the Black Panther movement. And one of the things that kept coming up was, you know, I'm going to enjoy this. In other words, black people, entertainment is the number one priority we seem to have. Entertainment. And when you start, so we want, as long as we're entertained, we don't give a fuck about Trump setting up this system. We don't give a fuck about, it's not even Trump setting up the system. It's the people who trumped up Trump setting up the system. We don't talk about, you know, the fact that they're aligning us with a potential culling of the community. You know, a culling when you have a mass genocide of people. We're not even talking about those things. And we talk about people looking at it like, oh, you're some wild, wacky conspiracy theorist. I said, oh, shit, the Nazi shit didn't happen in the 30s and the 40s? Oh, wait a minute. They didn't wipe out Tasmania? Hold on for a second. King Leopold didn't wipe out 15 million black people in the Congo? Hold a fucking second. They didn't come to this country and kill a whole nation of, multiple nations, 12 nations of Native Americans here in this country. They didn't do that. You know, they didn't go into South America, colonize that. So how the fuck is this a conspiracy theory when I'm showing you all these facts with where these Europeans have gone, conquered, and once they were done with the people, come up with a final solution? Mm-hmm.
You know what? I showed my son the Walk of the Planet of the Apes over the weekend. We had been trying to catch it together for the longest. And I keep bringing that movie up on this show, telling people you have to watch the War for the Planet of the Apes, because Caesar was schooled by that general. And that general told Caesar a few things. He said, hey, you're too emotional. This has nothing to do with emotions. Take your emotions out of it. He told Caesar, do you think that basically, you think I give a damn that I had to kill your son? Yeah, I killed my own son. For the greater good of this cause, I killed my son so that my people could survive. I killed my son because it wasn't about him and me and the emotional attachment I have to my family. This is for the greater good of the survival of my species, my kind. Mm-hmm. He told Caesar that two times in two different scenarios, stop being so emotional. Mm-hmm. Secondly, in that movie, he also, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. But later on, after I got done watching the movie, me and my son, we discussed it. I went to, I can't think of the name of that one, IMDb. And I looked and I went and I looked at some of the ratings of that movie. And it had a whole bunch of one stars. And I want y'all, the listeners and the viewers tonight, to go to that site and look at the ratings and read the review of that movie. After you watched it, read the review of that movie and look at why people gave it a one star. And of course, it was predominantly white people that gave it a one star. But I tell people, you always got to know how people think and feel in certain situations. A lot of people said, why did they name this movie The War for the Planet of the Apes? And there wasn't a lot of warring going on. It wasn't. It was one big, huge fight towards the end that only lasted a few minutes. But like you said, it was a lot going on in the midst of the war that you needed to see, not just the firefight of the war, because it's more to war than a bunch of guns and shooting. It's more to war than that. And that movie taught you that. But when you read some of the ratings that people say, you can kind of get a gist of how they actually feel about certain situations and being in certain situations. So again, we're not prepared for a war because we don't even know what war actually entails. And another reason why we're not prepared for war, because we don't know who to fight. We honestly don't know. We possibly know we should be fighting, and maybe that's why we fight one another. Because we feel so much negative energy and aggression and things taken out on us. So we know we have to fight and we should be fighting. But I honestly think that we don't know who we should be fighting. Even some of our so-called, quote-unquote, leaders within a conscious community, I don't think half of them know who they should be fighting. So they take that energy out on one another. They look at one another because all they know is they should be in fight mode. But they don't know what their enemy look like. They don't know who they're at war with because, like you said, it's coming from so many ends and so many angles, so they don't even know who shooting fire. They don't know if it was a missile or a bomb. They don't know what's going on. All they know is that they should be in fight mode. And that's us right now. A lot of us, I would say 99.9, maybe that's a little too high, no, but a good 95% of us don't know who we should be fighting. We don't know who our enemy is. We don't know that we're at war. We don't know who we should be fighting. It's just we don't know.
You know, and that's on purpose. You know, and I was talking to some millennials a few weeks ago, and their response was, we don't need to learn history because we're going to ignore history and we're going to move forward. We're going to move kumbaya with white folk and we're going to practice a new world where you know, we're not going to use race. Race is not going to be something that's used for, you know, for division, that we're going to conquer the whole problem of race. And I'm like, yeah, until you have to divide the resources. And y'all want to learn the lessons of your elders, their elders, and the ancestors before them who tried to bridge those gaps with these Europeans to find out that they were not to be trusted, that you were just being used as resources and cattle until they got the shit that they needed. But the purpose behind that was, they don't even they don't study history. Understand something, family. That was what Erica just said was so powerful, because those brothers and sisters who were leading the vanguard during the Black Power movement were hunted down in the late 60s and early 70s. They were hunted down. Many of them were murdered by professional licensed kill squads from the FBI, I'm not sure if the DEA was out back then, but you had the CIA functioning within this country. You had the local law enforcement, the state police, and the local law enforcement working in conjunction, turning, using COINTELPRO tactics, but they hunted down a lot of Black dignitaries and brothers and sisters who were teaching this political education, teaching Black people about what war meant and what it meant to be at war and to have a war society and to have a mindset for surviving war. And when they wiped that out and replaced it with Blaxploitation era, they replaced it with, we're going to give Black people middle class titles and statuses. We're going to allow Black people to have a semblance of what they believe is the American dream. They killed that whole movement, and we're three generations removed from understanding what our elders and ancestors were doing. Many of them are still in prison to this day. I just got a book from Sister Pam Africa, the other day. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal's book, Have Black Lives Ever Mattered? All right? Talking about that, he is still locked down and been mistreated on death row for the last 30-something years. All right? So, we still got to understand, family, that this whole psyop that they play with us now, and then they get us into these colleges and universities. And let me explain to you what happened, all right? Because I was even a victim of the mindfuck when I went to Bloomsburg University, all right? They convinced you had white people explaining to you, white professors and doctors explaining to you as a Black person, as a Black child on that campus, what racism is. They'll tell you that racism is power, oppression, plus, discrimination. And they'll tell you all this shit, and then they'll show you videos of Black people being followed around in malls. Black people walking around and people locking their car doors. And they'll give you that impression. See, the words were important, but the visualization took your mind off of what racism really was. And they have done a tremendous job as confusing us. And it wasn't until, later on in life that I truly learned what racism, white supremacy was. So we have to start making sure we get out, and people need to go to places like Harlem Liberation School, open liberation schools in their particular community, so that we can have that political education, and so that we can start talking and teaching that message of what real racism is and what it looks like and what we need to do in regards to that. In addition to that, family, I keep seeing comments, man. Black people, I'm going to challenge you to be deeper thinkers, okay? There's this chart called Bloom's Taxonomy. I want everybody to get a chance, look through Bloom's Taxonomy, all right? I want you to check it out. All right, it talks about the levels of thinking and comprehension. There are too many of you in the chat room right now talking about voting for Bernie, talking about Bernie. That you're missing the whole point of our conversation. This is not talking about an actual election or who we should have elected for the betterment of Black people. We're talking about the mindset of Black people and our inability to take advantage of the conditions that were set up by the Donald Trump presidency. Okay, we're not talking about this whole thing. So please, family, start thinking deeper. Stop being surface level thinkers. This shit is so frustrating sometimes. I'm not even gonna lie. And it's not me being emotional. I'm really passionate about this, driving this point home. We drive this point home every day. Be better thinkers. It's not illegal to think critically and not to just have thoughts tossed to you, not to just be on some shit where you wanna have the fastest thought or you wanna be the quickest draw when it comes to having an opinion. No, family, think, be concise. Go back, reference the information before you speak and stick your tongue out for somebody to step on. Please, that's all I'm asking. Too many comments in the chat room right now with people trying to have slick-ass comments, slick-ass remarks, and that's one of the biggest reasons why we don't fail. Everybody got the fucking answer, and you don't even know what the question is. And this is not to everybody in the chat, but just to a few people who I'm seeing in the chat room asking dumbass questions, talking about Bernie fucking Sanders. He wouldn't have been no good for Black people either. You realize Bernie Sanders?
Because we are what we've been waiting for.
Exactly, it's
that's
us.
That's the thing, and that's the point for those who it probably went over their head. What we're saying is, essentially what we're saying is, we need to quit depending on anyone outside of us to save us. We're not damsels in distress. We're not victims unless we tell our story like we're victims. But again, I always say, when you're in a situation, you're either a victim or survivor, depending on how you tell your own story. We need to stop. That's the whole point of that Hillary topic was, we don't need anyone to save us. We are what we have been waiting for. We are our own great white hope. It's us, no one else. We don't need a great white hope to save us from anything. There is nothing they could do to save us.
Nothing. In fact,
if you see somebody drowning and they're surrounded by lifeboats, are you going to go in a pool and drown with them? Or are you going to tell them, hey, fool, you were surrounded by lifeboats and your life jacket? What are you going to do? You can't save people that don't want to save themselves. So with that being said, some of the things that we're in, regardless of who put us there, we need to unite together to get ourselves out.
Mm-hmm. And see, this is you know, because we somehow get stuck and caught up in this whole notion of what are they going to do for us, and putting ourselves in position and proximity, which is one of the biggest issues I had with that Oprah speech on Monday, was that she was all about proximity. And she was all about, you know, people were talking about how, oh, she's finally being recognized. And when I asked the question, recognized for who? Who's recognizing her? Black people have always held Oprah up as the shrine of the Madonna. You know what I'm saying? Black people have always held her esteem. Recognized by who? Oh, her colleagues. Oh, excuse me. I thought being recognized by Black people should have been good enough. You know? So,
you know what? And this is when we got to keep it 100 with ourselves. About whether we how much independence we actually want. This goes back to Dr. Umar and how we're ha 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 pointing at him, laughing, saying you're not even accredited by a white university. Do we need him to get accredited by a white university to tell us our psychological issues? I don't need to be accredited to tell you about the. You see, it's again, we got to realize. Do we always want them to acknowledge our accomplishments, or is this something we could do ourselves? We can't say, stop oppressing us, stop beating us, stop taking stuff away from us, stop doing this. Oh, but give us an accreditation so we could tell us how you're oppressing us. Give us this so that we could tell one another. We got to get out of their mindset. And again, that's something we're heavily into, and it's all a reconditioning mm-hmm. of what's been put into us over the years. We all just hear of it. We all fall short of it from time to time, unless you're calling cars at this Black independence and pro-Black and Black empowerment thing down to a science. Now, I think he is a perfectionist at this systematic oppression thing. But anywho, we're all guilty. Right. He's like the Messiah of independence, Black independence.
No, we all fall short of it.
But, no, you know I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
But I just want the audience to know I don't play that shit.
I'm being sarcastic if y'all didn't catch it. Yeah, but we have to realize we all fall short. But once we fall short, it's not up to us to consistently and continue to point out how wrong we are and how this we are. But to say, hey, you know what? This is what you could have did better, should have did better, and help elevate each one another to the next level. But again, we still look for accolades from the people that oppress us. I hadn't heard Oprah's speech. I honestly hadn't. I hadn't clicked on it. I don't even know what she talked about. I could not tell you right now what she spoke on. I just chose not to give that my particular energy. But again, we look for Black people to go to white people and say, hey, make these laws to stop oppressing my people. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
How you going to ask them to police themselves? It's like telling somebody to slap themselves on the wrist for some shit they doing to you. No, you punch that motherfucker in the throat.
Another bullet.
Exactly. You punch him in the throat.
Man.
Yeah, you know.
I had someone today listening to the bell of the bullet. It worked.
Got to. You know, we got to reinvoke those things. We got to reinvoke the ancestors who had the plan. You know, the stuff we're talking, you know, the crazy thing about the Independence Day Project and the stuff we're moving towards, this is not new. It's just we stopped thinking about it. This is not a new concept, novel concept. Elijah Muhammad, We're talking about independent black communities. Marcus Garvey was talking about independent black communities. We can go way back into, you know, marooning colonies that had that black people were living in since the 1600s in this country. You know, where black people said, fuck it, we're going to go off into the woods and we're going to go to places that white folk can't follow. And white folk tribe, they was catching malaria and alligators all up and down the motherfucker. They couldn't figure out why, how these black people could survive and disappear. They were calling them mystical. They were calling them magical. Because we were able to move in places they couldn't. We can still do that shit today if we ever put our mind to it. You know, black people mad that H&M put out a song, put out a t-shirt talking about the, you know, smart, the coolest monkey in the jungle.
The coolest monkey in the jungle.
Yeah. I guess they've been insulting you for how long? I don't even think this is the first time H&M has come up with some racist shit. And every, you still go in, the years and black people and parents are sending their children into H&M stores. Things of that nature. Yep. Brother IJ Tyama, Sankofa. Exactly. Let me go back to where we are so we can learn who we are so we can get to our future family. You know what I'm saying? You know, can we start supporting, you know, people like Ron Green and What's Up African Apparel so we don't have to worry about them putting out a fucking shirt? Can we put down Africa's Originals? Can we rock that family? Can we do that? Can we do that? This is more bold than any of that bullshit to y'all that we have our children buying t-shirts that say obey, hats, things of that nature. Can we rock something like my man HD Arts with the hat that says King on it when you're walking down the street as if you're rocking your crown? Can we get back to that family? Can we get back to self-empowerment family and stop worrying about other people trying to fit into their, you know, into their particular spheres or trying to blend in and trying to reform or trying to I don't want to say the word, but assimilate into white culture. Can we stop doing those things, family? Get on code with black
and
power.
Some of us, truthfully, you know what I realized too? Some of us aren't doing it to do any of those things. Some of us are doing it just so we can show the next black person, I can afford this too, and I can wear this too, and I can buy this too. You know what? People laugh at me sometimes because 90% of my clothes, and Carl, I'll be on the phone with you, come from a secondhand shop. You know, I'd be on the phone with you and I'd be like, oh, I'm at this consignment shop trying to need some clothes. Can I afford some? I can afford to shop at a lot of places, but I figure, shoot, why am I going to pay $30, $40 for a sweater when I could go to the consignment shop and get it for $7, $8?
Exactly.
It may be last year or 2 years ago. But I look good in whatever I put on, so I don't care. I don't need to represent anybody's label. I'm serious, and I've always felt that way. I don't like to be, I don't like name brand. I don't like for anyone to see what I got on and can tell what I spent on. As often I say, you can't let people know what you're worth, including in what you spent your money on. But we do those things to one up one another, because it's that mentality from when we first integrated, and hey, guess what? I get to take my money and spend it with them. Can you?
Exactly. And for those of you who are questioning what Erica is talking about in regards to her being able to rock whatever she feels like rocking, I'm going to show y'all.
I'm going to hurt you.
It's too late, Erica. It's too late.
Oh, you going to put up my Independence Day shirt?
Oh, no, I ain't put that one up there. I got another picture of Erica. So y'all can see Erica in the background. All right. Erica is not playing what she says. She feels good about what she's rocking. All right. That's Erica rocking.
Erica's
actually on the cover of the Independence Day Project, y'all. I just wanted y'all to know that. That's Erica on the cover of the Independence Day Project.
I'm going to put Carl on front. My baby girl, she's 7. She thinks we're the same. Whatever I had, she thinks she should have. And I got a What About Us t-shirt. I got 2. And I wear my What About Us t-shirt a lot, both of them. So my baby asked me, she, you know, to read. She said, What About Us? She asked me what it was. I told her. So she, of course, she know Carl's name when she see it on my phone. So whenever I'm on the phone with Carl, well, the first thing she says is, or when she thinks of, oh, hey, ask Carl when I'm going to get my What About Us shirt. My baby has been asking Carl for this shirt for 2 months now. And just my baby want her a What About Us shirt, and she wants her an Independence Project shirt. So I'm saying that to say, too, support those clothing lines as well, because your kids see you in certain things, and they see it and they want to become it. And I try to teach my kids, you know, to be pro-Black and to love and support and care about themselves and their people and their culture. So when we're out buying Ralph Lauren and Polo and you're buying all these things, remember the images and the things we're teaching our kids about what to wear and who to support with our money versus, you know, letting them see you in my What About Us t-shirt. They're not anything fancy. They're not anything. But because I'm wearing it, my daughter, my 7-year-old daughter, wants to wear one too. Kids are more likely to emulate us when they're younger. So it's very important to put that independence and put that imagery in them while they're young before they get heavy into society. And then they've lost the sense of who they are as a people. Because I read to y'all last week, where that guy, that general said, we have to be very intentional on how we're going to instill these values in our kids. Mm-hmm. We have to learn from our certain things from our enemies, because they're instilling those values, intentionally instilling them in their kids at a young age. We have to be careful and mindful of how we instill independence and Black empowerment into our kids.
Exactly. Exactly. And listen, y'all, the shirt is kind of fancy. I ain't gonna hold y'all, especially if you got the curves for the shirt to fit the way they're supposed to fit. Not saying no names, but what I'm saying is, family, for the sisters, we're gonna be having those shirts back up and running in February. I'm just letting y'all know that now. We're gonna have them shirts back up and running in February. The Independence Day Project shirts. We're gonna have all them joints up and popping. So, you know. So the moral to what we're talking about tonight, family, in regards to whether or not we should have voted for Hillary, that was just a Caligulism, all right? We're not talking actuality. Actuality, no matter who you voted for the Black community, it was all bad. As, somebody put it, I think it was my brother RJ put it earlier, Jewish people don't vote for a Jewish president. They just make the president accountable to the Jewish community. And as Black people, we need to make whoever the politicians are accountable to our community when you stand in nationhood. You know, so that's the thing we're talking about. We're not talking about specifically voting for a specific individual or person. That's never changed the conditions of the Black community. You've never seen an Asian president, yet in every city there's a Chinatown. What does that tell you? You know what I'm saying? You know, the nation controls those populations and things of that nature. So, family, you have got to be, and you have got to be functioning with universal codes and a universal conduct as a nation to be recognized as such. And a nation is not necessarily your physical plan. The nation is how the people move, how the people function. You know, the codes and morale. As PACs and PACs, we have the code of conduct, because the Black, what do we call it? We call it, I'm flipping, hold on for a second. Because the Black social engineering of code enforcement in our community. And that's what we're talking about. In terms of creating that community, family, we need to build that and build upon that. So one of the things that, you know, and we're about to, you know, cut it short in a minute, because, you know, we've been on for about, you know, close to 90 minutes. And, you know, a lot of people have been saying the show is too long. Even though I still see the show getting fire, the show, people are still showing up to hear us talk about what the topics and the issues. So I want to, Erica, do you want to switch gears real quick? And go into this Colin Kaepernick thing, because another football season is over. Colin Kaepernick, everybody knows about the protest. Everybody knows he was never hired. And that seems to be the bottom line that people told when it comes to talking about Colin Kaepernick. You want to go into this real quick before we jump off?
We got about 3 minutes.
Yeah, we got about a couple minutes. Yeah, a couple minutes. So, all right, Colin Kaepernick, as all you know, did the protest when he was first sitting, and then he started kneeling for the national anthem. And his reason behind it was to bring attention to all of the unarmed Black people and people of color that he stated. This is his words: people of color that were being harmed by police brutality. So somehow, some way, you know, and this is one of the things we have to start getting better with, family, as critical thinkers. We have got to stop waiting and allowing for the dominant society to give us our talking points and to change and switch the tangibility of our talking points. We have got to get better with that. So the conversation switched this year from Colin Kaepernick's protest to, first of all, him disrespecting the flag. So the conversation then switched. We've allowed the dominant society to stop us from talking about the reason he was protesting. And then it went to, well, will Colin Kaepernick get a job? So nobody's talking about the fact that this man, you know, and let's be clear, no fault of his own, because he consistently pushed the envelope in regards to reminding people that this move of his, he actually committed career suicide, all right? He committed career suicide in regards to, his lifespan in the NFL possibly could have made between $15 and $30 more million based on the trash you see out there throwing footballs around today. So we put all of that particular at risk. And, you know, the talk has been, well, you know, these are in private and public circles. He did, you know, he softened his stance when he took the knee instead of standing tall or sitting down. You know, we didn't like the way he did this, that, and the other. He softened his stance at the end of the season and said that the teams would hire him back. He would no longer protest, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, the man still went, he did the ultimate sacrifice. He knew when he kneeled that that was the end of his career. And I think we sometimes forget that the purpose behind him kneeling and the NFL's response is what led to the majority of black people initially saying that we needed to boycott football. One of the things we get caught up in the social minutia of the dominant society. You know what I'm saying? And one of the things he was talking about, see, I left football, never went back, don't give a fuck about football. You know what I'm saying? When we left football, a lot of people got caught up in that whole conversation. Because a lot of people, like I said, you put entertainment in front of black people, and it's like dangling a carrot in front of a goddamn horse. That horse is going to chase the carrot. So they already knew that all they have to do is continue to dangle football in front of black people. Eventually, black people said, you know, wanted to say basically, fuck Colin Kaepernick, let's get back to football. That's basically what really wanted to say, if people want to be honest about it. But the point of the matter is, NFL showed blatant disrespect to the black community. At that point, the black community should have honestly said, fuck the NFL. And everybody that was black should have disengaged. I saw black people making excuses. Well, the football players aren't. But them motherfuckers are getting paid millions of dollars. Don't stop that potential economic, you know, the situation, because we could have turned that, we could have twisted that. But a lot of us are too emotional to play chess. Not gonna go there. Then you got a lot of the, you know, people saying, well, you know, hopefully if he get a job, I'm gonna go back to football. Then you got some people that say, fuck it, I'm not doing anything, protest against any other. The bottom line is, if I disrespect your mother and you stop speaking to me, would you care about how much money I made at work? So why are so many black people so concerned with, you know, the fact that the NFL's bottom line wasn't affected by black people deciding to turn the other cheek, or black people decide to walk off the plantation? We had a lot of black people who are just concerned with how this shit affects white supremacy. And, you know, the bottom line is, family, it's about how it affects us. If anybody disrespects you or your community, you should have enough integrity as a community and pride as a community to say, bye-bye, I'm walking off the plantation. I will not be servicing or rendering your services anymore. But we get caught up in the bullshit. And I see we had a comment. I'm going to check in two seconds, and I'm going to check the comment. Okay? But Erica, do you have anything to say about Colin Kaepernick's situation?
My biggest thing is, we have to sometimes realize that everybody where a protest isn't going to be the same. And just because their version of protest isn't the same as what you would have done doesn't mean that they're wrong. When I was going to church, you know, some people talk about how one person may pray or how people worship God. Some people may shout, get the Holy Ghost. Some people throw up their hands. Some people cry, whatever. In the end, we all recognize that it's them praising God. So the same with protest. Just because someone didn't do it the way that you would have done doesn't mean that it was wrong. I salute him for making a sacrifice financially when the easy thing would have been to say, hey, ain't bother me. My money shields me from this. My money can shield me from some of these situations. My money can possibly shield me from injustice. So I salute the fact that he said that no matter what kind of money I make, I'm watching people get gunned down. We literally get to see video now, people getting gunned down. It ain't a word of mouth. It's all being recorded. I salute the fact that he stood up and said, no, we have to stop this. Something isn't right. But in the end, I love football. Absolutely love football. I think I stopped watching it last year before the protests actually began. It did put a bad taste in my mouth, but I just couldn't look at it the same. Then when the owners behaved the way some of them behaved, you know, and I find it quite odd that the Carolina Panthers owner was one of the ones that stood with his players and stood behind his players. And now he's forced to sell his team for sexual harassment. I honestly find it odd that one of the few owners that stood up and said, not on my watch, I'm supporting my players. They're going to protest. We're staying in the locker room. We're doing this. My players don't have to. They don't have to. He's forced to sell his team due to sexual harassment. You can't tell me Jerry Jones, Crip listed. You can't tell me that man has sexual harassed somebody. He looks like he sexual harassed people.
Jerry Jones
he looks like he sexual harassed the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. First of all, him is 45, too close for him not to be a pedophile slash misogynist sexual harasser.
Alleged.
He looks like he sexual harassed women. He does. He honestly does. But anywho, with all these owners, my thing is, if you watch something going on and you don't stand up for it, to me, that means you're stand up against it. That means you're for it. So for the people that didn't stand up, the owners that didn't stand up and say, hey, you know what? A, it's unconstitutional for any president to tell us a private entity what to do with our players. That's unconstitutional. You cannot do that. For them to just sit in silence, their silence spoke volumes to me. For them to sit in silence and decide that Black lives don't matter, because that's how I took it. I don't like what anybody do at all whatsoever. I don't tell anyone to do anything. Whatever you do, as you please. But just for me, it doesn't do anything to me to watch it anymore. I don't get that same thrill that I once got when I used to watch my favorite sport. I used to love football. But now when I watch professional football, I'm like, it doesn't do anything for me anymore, because my love for Black men, not just Black people, but I love Black men. My love for Black men is way more powerful than watching anybody kick a pants. Watching anybody run some rush for some yards or getting a set. My love for Black men is way more powerful than having to watch it. So in the end, I decided last year, probably as soon as the protest came out and the buzz about it came out, I was like, and I seen some of the negative feedback, I couldn't watch it anymore and haven't watched it. I don't even think I watched the Super Bowl last year. But anyway, we have to learn, and it's all baby steps with everybody. Everybody eventually gets there on their own pace, but they decide to get there. But we have to realize that, again, just because Colin Kaepernick didn't do it our way, the way we would have done it, and again, it's easy when you're making millions to say shoulda, coulda, woulda. But the fact that he brought attention to it, whether it was good intention, intentions on his behalf, whether attention stayed where it should have been, it's either here or there. The fact that he actually did it, and it cost him. It really did cost him. That says a lot. Because truth be told, right now, as much as I am for Black empowerment, I can't afford for it to cost me my livelihood because I have kids and I have bills. I can't afford to take that hit. I appreciate. But I appreciate him taking a hit and losing millions when I can't say that in a current situation that I'm in, that I would be willing to do so. And that's just me keeping it 100. If I had millions, that's a different story, but it's still your income, but I'm not even willing to take that sacrifice.
I think that you made something real clear too. The fact of the matter is we still can't depend on our community to take care of us in those situations speaks value. And the fact of the matter is a lot of people that have contention for his protest with you know, you got motherfuckers in the barbershop sweeping up hair and wouldn't speak up against their, you know, the cat, you know what I mean, in the barbershop to risk their job. You know, I'm gonna make this $40 today, you know what I'm saying, get my little bag of weed shit. But yet and still we're complaining about him. And we do that a lot. We take liberty a lot of times with a lot of people when, you know, they're the ones sticking their necks out there. And as a community, we'll push them out there to go ahead and speak out for us, and then we'll snatch our hand back when the shit don't work out. And that's another problem in our community too. You know, and the biggest excuse is we don't have enough money for this and we don't have enough money for that. That's absolute bullshit. Let me tell you something. And I'm gonna run this down to y'all real quick before we get out of here. If the black community was so poor, then why is it on every corner you have a fucking Dominican store? Bodega. Why is it that on every other corner you have a Chinese restaurant? Why is it that you have all these other white and European businesses, pizza shops and shit in your neighborhood? Arabs own all the fucking gas stations and shit in the quickie marts. But the community doesn't have any power, doesn't have any money. You got a bar on every other fucking corner. You got a church, 3 churches on every other corner. But the community doesn't have any money. It's the biggest fallacy one. It's the second biggest lie told to black people today. The other lies that black people need to be accepting of other people, we've already talked about that and going over it. So let's not get into that point. But I'm going to get into something one of the brothers that, you know, and I hope he's still watching. Brother C. Hop, real quick, you said no disrespect, but y'all keep talking inclusion when these people will never allow you or us to see their equal, to be their, I guess that thing that's supposed to be our equal, or see us as an equal. We need our own point blank period. So brother, I'm trying to understand how we're talking about that. We are talking about a movie called The Independence Day Project, where we don't speak about inclusion at all on our platform. We don't speak about none of those different things, but you do still live in a place surrounded by water. And on a continent with laws and rules and regulations that you don't have the power currently, independently, to do anything about. And before we get into the conversation of sovereign citizenship, let's understand something. Sovereign countries don't have protection against these corporatocracies that run the world right now. And specifically, black people who do not have their shit together. So fam, let me just understand, let me just explain that to you, brother. You know, we're not talking about, and I really need to find out what you mean by what we're talking about in terms of inclusion here. Because I don't think anybody on this thread was talking inclusion unless you talk about some of the things that were in the comments, or unless you're talking about the whole idea about presidency, which once again shows that sophistication of thought and processes, it still escapes some of us because we can't emotionally get past our emotional impulses to just start reacting and responding to situations rather than fully internalizing and taking the information in and then properly disseminating the information amongst ourselves. So, you know, and that's not coming as a disrespect, brother, but that's basically speaking to the fact that if you're thinking in terms of, you know, inclusion, and we're talking about Hillary and Donald Trump, brother, you missed the boat. As Erica said, this shit flew over your head. All right? So we're going to close it out now. We're about to close this thing out. Erica, do you have any closing remarks before we hit the bricks?
Yes. Get on code. Go read the code of conduct. Go to our website. Check out the Ballad of the Bullet by Malcolm X. All these things we've mentioned. The Planet of the Apes. All these things. All these things. If you read them, if you listen to them, and put them together, when I tell you, you will be enlightened. You would get why we need independence. Also, check out On the Shoulder of Giants, Joseph Ward. He has a few shirts out on his website. It's time for us to start supporting one. It's a new year, 2018. Let's start supporting one another. Our business endeavors, I'm not sure Carlos had the advertisement open, if he's still selling the ads, but if you know anyone that owns a business, tell them to reach out to him so that they can help support this documentary.
Well, I do, it's closing. If I don't get your ad by tomorrow, this time tomorrow, then it's all said and done. We have a lot of ads already. And thanks to all the people, sponsors who I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, who contacted us and who were able to contribute to that and take advantage of that exclusive offer. That offer closes. Once that offer closes this time tomorrow, we will not be doing that thing. We're on the time. We're pressed for time right now. So, you know, we're putting together the final pieces so that we can press the DVDs and get them ready for Harlem. You know, we will be in Harlem. Family gonna bootleg my shit. But, you know, we're gonna, and hold on, I wanna make it real quick. Brother C, how? I'm not coming at you, brother. I'm just questioning some of the things that you were saying, bro. It's nothing personal. I see you in person. We'll embrace, brothers. I got nothing but love for you. I want you to understand that. Because black men get too emotional. Next thing you see somebody, they be planning on killing your ass, and you don't even know that they're mad at you. I'm not mad at you, brother. You said some things I just didn't agree with in terms of the thought conversation. It's all love, brother. Still support you. Shout out to you, beloved. And so what I want to talk about, family, as we close out this show and this broadcast, and we went a little long tonight. I want to, first of all, thank my brother IJ for calling in and with his message of empowerment, specifically towards, you know, supporting black causes, you know, getting off of the whole, damn, Khadijah, it's 4 a.m. in UK. Baby, you need to get some sleep, sis. Damn. Oh, man, I'm so sorry, sis. You know, we need to get our people on code. And as Erica said, we need to get our people back together. And we need to make it pop. So family, we need to be on the same page. And we need to start being serious about our situation in terms of black liberation. We need to be serious about the crisis that we're in right now. We talk about black liberation. We're not talking about, you know, merging forces, this, that, and the other. You know, when we talked about the situation with the presidency, we were just hoping that we black people will recognize the current flow of energy and where that energy is directed. It's directed towards our destruction, you know, and it's directed towards our, you know, genocide. And we need to be focused on that. And the only problem, you know, the thing about this current administration is this administration is more serious about doing those things than at any other time. So we need to be on code, because if you're reading the headlines and you're seeing all the things that's happening, they have destroyed our layers of protection in terms of media coverage and people that can ring the bells and ring the alarm. They have destroyed that. There are no black people, no notable black people currently right now serving in any form of media that will alert black people if they seen some shit flying off. They are currently trying to discredit. My sister Erica brought up Umar Johnson earlier. And one of the things that's important to know about that situation is when he finally was investigated, they only had two clips from the Breakfast Club. They investigated this man for 4 years, and all they had were two clips from the Breakfast Club to say that he had violated his trust in regards to the policies and that he was supposed to. As a clinical school psychologist here in Pennsylvania. So they're going after people who have potential. You understand your enemy. Your enemy does not focus on what you are today. They focused on threat assessments. Please read the COINTELPRO papers. Please read the 5 points of the COINTELPRO papers. Please read where they say they had threat assessments, where they identified Martin Luther King, Kwame Ture. They had identified Malcolm X before he was executed, and they identified them as potentially having the charisma to bring black people together before they had the potential. All right, I mean, before they realized their potential, they recognized these brothers and sisters in place, and they understood they had to stop the rise of the black messiah. They understood those things. They think about threat assessments. So don't think now, oh, these people haven't done shit. You don't know what they'll do. Their life has not been, you know, their path has not yet been determined. We cannot read their scrolls. This scroll is still being written. All of our scrolls are still being written. And for those of us who say what others aren't doing, my question is, what are you doing? You know, that's my question. So when we had to start dealing with the independence of Black people and start pushing towards the independence of Black people, we have to start taking seriously our situation. We shouldn't be partying. We don't have shit to celebrate right now. We got work to do. Mm. We need to be out in the streets, boots on the ground. I'm 10 toes down, boots on the ground. Fucking worn out because of all the obligations and things of that nature to the community. Getting still, we're still on the community pushing this message to Black empowerment, trying to encourage other people. We don't need pats on the back, brothers and sisters. We need more boots on the ground. We need more people helping us out. We need more soldiers. We need more teachers, and not just teachers who are comfortable with having scholastic debates. We need people teaching our children, our people, about the rules of, and rules of engagement that we're dealing with in regards to dealing with this enemy and amongst ourselves. We need all those things, family, and we can't wait. We don't have time for the bullshit. We don't have time for Oprah to go up there with a fake-ass Me Too speech like that's going to change the conditions of Black America. No, it just changed the consideration of bougie Black America that doesn't give a fuck about the rest of the community. So, family, we need to be out there on code, working with each other, brave. We need brave hearts. Enough cowards sitting behind keyboards, sitting behind their cell phones, their fucking iPods, iPads and tablets with all these dissenting opinions. People who are talking this, that, and the other. People making YouTube videos. No, get out in your community. Go talk to the people that you're talking about. Go build with the people that you're talking around. Get to those people, family. Because if we're not getting to those people, then all you're doing is talking shit. We have enough shit talkers. We have enough people who have jumped into this shit to become Hollywood stars. In the game of Black consciousness. It's so fucking ridiculous to the point where I'm ready to say fuck conscious community. I'm rolling out and doing shit with people who are about Black empowerment. You feel me? Because this is nothing but bullshit. There's no intellectual dick measuring going on here. This is about building and working in the community. And if we're not talking about that, I don't give a fuck about your philosophy. I don't care who you pray to. I don't care who you kneel to. The bottom line is when you stand up, you rise and stand for Black people. And you stand up on the cradle and you stand up for the future of Black children. Because if you're not, you're fucking coward. And we need to be out with you. We need to be done with you. And with that said, family, Father, we're about to bring this thing home. And, as always, family, you know, don't forget, family, support the Independence Day Project. Don't forget, go out, get my homegirl's book. Black Sterling, she left a clip in the link. Make sure y'all holler at this. This is a blueprint, all right? This is a blueprint for international Black power, all right? Make sure y'all grab a copy of this, all right? With that said, fam, peace and love, and as always, Black power.
I want it all for my people. That's why I stand tall for my people. I'll always go.